Today we continue to think on the theme of sin and its cure. As I was saying with the boys and girls, many of you also will have memories as a child, as a younger person, of playing hide and seek in the house, in the garden, around the sheds, on the farm, and so on and so forth. And I'm sure some of us, if truth be told, continue to play some version of that even when we were teenagers. At the beginning of the Bible, and at the very beginning of what we could describe as the Christian worldview, there is a game of hide and seek, a very serious game. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have a picture painted that is very graphic and telling in what it reveals to us about sin and the nature of sin. So this morning I just want us to look at this passage under the heading Hiding from God. Because another way of looking at sin is to look at it as something where we all try to hide from God. Sin can be described in many different ways, and we'll come to that. But first of all, this morning, as we think of Genesis 3, I want you to notice here a picture of where it all went wrong. We have, literally in this passage, a picture of paradise lost. Like, when you think about it, and I want you to think about it, like, why is the world the way that it is? Why are we as human beings, and we know this, we are a mixture of beauty and brokenness. We have the ability as human beings to do some wonderful things, and we have the ability to do some terrible things. We can produce masterpieces of literature and music, and we can create masterpieces of barbarity and cruelty. And that profound question, what has gone wrong? Why are we the way that we are? Is answered for those who are willing to listen to it here in the third chapter of Genesis. As we think of this story of Adam and Eve, and by the way, can I say this, and maybe some of the young folk can pick up on this, do not allow others, and do not allow ultimately the devil to deceive you by saying something like, Genesis, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, you're not listening to that, are you? Sure, science has disproved all of that. Wrong. That is a lie from the devil himself. Science has not disproved this. True science and true religion complement one another, because all truth is God's truth. So never forget that, and don't be diverted by that. And so we see in this passage here the craftiness of the evil one. Notice how chapter 3 of Genesis begins. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? Did God really say that? What's happening there? God's authority is being questioned. And that is what the evil one always seeks to do, to question the authority of God. Did God really say this? His word is queried. And when you think about it, down through the generations, that is what happens in so many situations. The devil comes and sows seeds of doubt. He maybe has done it in your mind. Can you really believe what God has said? Can you really believe what the Bible says? He did it right at the beginning, and he's been doing it ever since. And not only is he crafty, he is a liar. You've heard me say recently that in some ways the country's full of thieves and liars, and I do believe that. The country's full of thieves and liars. Our nation is full of thieves and liars. People just can't be honest. It's almost taken for granted that people will tell lies, that people will be dishonest. They'll not be wholly true. And the father of all of that is spoken about here in Genesis chapter 3, the lies of the devil. The woman says to the devil, we may eat fruit from the trees, but God said you mustn't eat fruit from this or you will die. And then in verse 4, you will not die. A blatant lie. And Adam and Eve disobey God, and they discover, for the very first time, they discover that they are naked. Never occurred to them before that they were naked. And they try to cover themselves, as we all try to do. We try to cover ourselves with fig leaves, with different things, to make up for the shortcomings we see in our lives. And when God comes to speak with them, what do? Verse 8, they hide from God. Verse 8, let me read it to you. It's an important verse. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. It's a picture of where it all went wrong. And folks, you and I live in a world where the subject of sin is just a bit of a joke. To unbelievers and people who really have no time in the Christian gospel, it is just a joke. But according to the Christian worldview, sin is a moral black hole at the heart of this universe. Put it this way, the wreck on the freeway of life in every generation, according to the Christian message, is directly related to what happened in the Garden of Eden as Adam and Eve tried to flee from God. That's where it all went wrong. And we live in a world today where people say there's something not right with this world, but very few will come back to the Scripture and get the diagnosis of Holy Scripture. That it all went wrong here at the beginning. It really was a case of paradise lost. I wonder, do you see that this morning? I wonder, are you willing to believe that? Christian diagnosis. That here is a picture of where it all went wrong. Blaise Pascal, some of you may know that name. He was a very famous French mathematician and writer of a bygone age. And he said this. He said that the doctrine of original sin seems an offense to reason, but once accepted, it makes total sense of the entire human condition. There are people today, and they will not accept this because the implications of accepting this are too much for them. But for those who do accept this, this Christian diagnosis, that the heart of the human problem is the problem of what's in our hearts. And it all started back at the beginning when Adam and Eve hid from God. But let me move quickly on. It's a picture of where it all went wrong. We have here a picture of humanity. They hid from the Lord God. There are various pictures in the Bible of sin. I'm not going to dwell on this at length, but there are a number of pictures. For example, there's a picture painted, you have it in Psalm 51, where it says that they hide your face from my sins. And the word for sin there is actually the picture, if any of you, and I know some of you have tried this, if any of you have ever tried some archery, and it's a picture of someone trying to aim an arrow and letting the arrow go, and it just falls short of the target. That's one picture of sin. Falling short of the glory of God. Another picture, which is a very farming picture, Isaiah chapter 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And it's a picture, actually, if you like, those of you who have sheep. I grew up on a farm and sheep was the one thing we didn't have. Maybe some of you are saying you were wise. And I know that sheep, if you're a bit of a hole in the hedge, will the sheep walk past? No, go through. Looking for that, I think I'll go this way. Veering off the track, going its own way, doing its own thing. And we're all like that. We go off the track. We do our own thing. We want to try something different from what we know is right. And another picture in the Bible is 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. Sin is lawlessness. It's a picture of someone breaking in, for example, to an orchard. I was asking the children earlier how many of you played hide and seek. I wonder if I was to ask you how many of you ever broke into an orchard to steal the apples. Put up your hand, please. I wonder how many hands would go up. Well, says you, as you live your life, you judge your neighbour. I'm sure some of us have done things like that. The very thing that we know we shouldn't be doing, we do it. Apparently, the big snowstorm over in the east of the States, in some places, people have been banned from going out onto the roads. How many people will try to break the ban and say, I must go out and see what's happening? You see, there's something built into us that wants to do what we're told not to do. And here's another picture of sin in the Bible, a picture of humanity hiding and running from God. Now think about that. Running from God, hiding from God, trying to hide from God behind a tree. Not very sensible, sure it's not. But you see, sin begins to warp our thinking. It begins to make us think that we can hide from God. We can get away with it. We can hide behind a tree and God maybe won't see us. But you see, God does see us. And this morning, have you ever thought about this? You can try to hide from God in different places. You can try to hide from God in a crowded bar or club. And many try it. Trying to hide from God looking into the bottom of a glass. Their life's in a turmoil. They're hiding from God. But you can also, strange as it may sound, try to hide from God not only in a crowded bar or club, but you can try to hide from God in a crowded church or cathedral. Seeking to explain life without God, or seeking to get through life maybe with a wee bit of religion, but keeping God at a distance, hiding from him, not allowing him to come too close, lest things get turned on their head. Happens all the time. This morning, can you think of anyone who's running from God? More to the point, are you running from God? Are you trying to hide from the living God? Jesus once told a story of a young lad who ran away, wanting to find the pleasures of life and the happiness of life without a father looking over his shoulder. And he found it, yes, for a season. And then he discovered that the bright lights weren't all that they claimed to be. And he still had that searching in his heart for something. And young person, you may be here this morning and you will be tempted. Once I'm of the age, I'm out of here. Once I'm of the age, I'll no longer be coming to church. I want to find a real life. I want to enjoy the pleasures of life. And let me tell you this, young person, you may do that, but you will come to the point where you realize that the pleasures of life and the bright lights of life are not all that they claim to be. And you will be left like that young lad long ago, scraping around, saying there's got to be more to life than this. Why are you trying to go through life without God? Why are you hiding from him? Can you really hide from God? How could Adam and Eve hide from God behind a tree? Did they not even begin to think that God would see them? And God sees you this morning trying to hide from him. He sees you. He knows you. Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can anyone hide so that I cannot see him? Can anyone hide that I can't see him?" I don't think so. And who is it that sees you? And this brings me to my last but really important point. Because in Genesis 3, we have a picture not only of where it all went wrong, and it has gone so tragically wrong in our world. We not only have a picture of that and a picture of humanity, we have a picture, thirdly and finally, a picture of God. And I love this. Verse 8 says, "They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And verse 9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?'" God knew where they were. But he comes. He comes in grace. He comes in mercy. Yes, in judgment also. But he comes saying, "Where are you?" Let me tell you about a common misconception that there is about God. It involves the idea, the notion of man searching for God and God is hiding. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that many times. That is a lie. The very opposite is true. God is seeking and man is hiding. And how gracious God is, how merciful. He comes to us. "Adam, where are you?" He speaks and he asks Adam and Eve to face up to the reality of what's actually going on in their lives. And then the blame game begins, the blame game. We always have to have somebody in life to blame. It's never my fault. You ever notice that in life? Nothing's ever my fault anymore. It's always somebody else's fault in life. And Adam, he blames Eve. It was the wife. It was Eve. She blames the devil. The blame game started and the passing the buck game began, and it's continued every generation since. And as we try to hide from God, God comes to each of us this morning, asking you and me to face up to the reality of where you really are. Where are you this morning, the Lord says? Where are you really? Behind the facade, behind the "good morning, everything's fine" facade that we put on, God says, "Where are you? Where are you generally in life? Honestly, where are you? And spiritually, where are you this morning?" Folks, you may be here this morning, and you may be like Adam and Eve. Once you walked with God. Once you walked with God. But now, something has happened. The whole thing has gone pear-shaped. You've listened to the lies of the evil one, and you've ended up hiding behind a mask. Adam and Eve hid behind a tree. You're hiding behind a mask. What mask are you hiding behind this morning, folks? The mask of respectability? Everything's all right with me. Everything's far from all right. But you're hiding. Or the mask of religiosity. "Well, I'm a decent person. I never done anybody any harm." I'm sure you have not done anybody any harm, but you're hiding from God. You're hiding from the call of the gospel behind your mask. As I said earlier, you can sit in a church pew and hide from God. It happens all the time. This morning, up and down the length and breadth of the country, there are people sitting in their churches and they're hiding from God. They don't want God to come too close. We'll keep God at a distance. Folks, you'll never know any blessing if you keep God at a distance. Young person, maybe you're here this morning and you're hiding. What are you hiding from? You're hiding from God, maybe other stuff as well. Maybe you're listening to this and you are a Christian believer. Or you're not yet a Christian believer, pardon me. You're not yet a Christian believer and you're listening to this. You've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus. You are literally running and hiding from God, hiding in your busyness and your activity day after day. This is what sin does. It makes you hide from God. And that's why you need to realize how serious sin is. It is literally causing people in our community today to be so busy doing this, that, and the other thing, and they're literally running from God. There are some people scared of silence. The television always has to be on. The radio always has to be gone. Lest in the silence, God the Spirit speaks. How can you hide from God, I say? Where can you go to hide from God? Why would you hide from God? Think about this. Only a sinister force would try to get you to hide from God. What is it that's making you hide from God? Have you ever thought about that? Who is it that's behind trying to get you to run away from God? I could understand people running and hiding from religion. Or running and hiding from a set of rules and regulations. Or running and hiding from churchianity. Like, who wants those things? I certainly don't. But running and hiding from God, that's an entirely different matter. And we're speaking here of a gracious and loving God who in kindness comes and says, "Where are you? Where are you this morning? You need to come to me. You need to come back to me. You need to step out from behind the tree, from behind the mask, and just acknowledge what's gone on and what's going on. And I can put it back together again for you. Will you let me? It might damage your pride a wee bit, but I can do it." And what follows, and we're almost finished here, what follows in Genesis 3 is a mixture of judgment and mercy. You see, God is just, and he cannot sweep the sin under the carpet. What would you and I think of a judge up in the high courts who said, "This horrendous thing has happened, but we'll just forget about it. We'll just sweep it under the carpet"? You wouldn't think much of them. Maybe you think that sort of thing happens now and again. And you're not impressed, you're not. No, you're not. You wouldn't be impressed, and I wouldn't be impressed by a God who just says, "Well, we'll not forget about that." And then there's some people who are hard on God and say, "Why is God a God of judgment? Would you rather he forgot about the whole thing and swept it under the carpet?" No, he's a God of judgment and mercy. And in the midst of the judgment, the first announcement of the gospel is made in Genesis 3 and verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, Satan. You may strike his heel, but he will crush you, Satan." The Lord Jesus, the blessed Lord Jesus on the cross on Calvary's hill, crushed the head of Satan. Praise God. You see, God had a plan that would restore and save the day. His grace shines through Paradise Lost. His grace will one day restore, and one day it will be paradise regained. And I quoted these words last week, and I do it again as we finish. John Henry Newman, O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. Praise God. Jesus Christ came to redeem that which was broken, that which was lost. And God comes to us again this morning and says, where are you? Where are you? Come to me. Come back to me. And I'll put back together what's been broken, what's been damaged. Will you come to me? Stop hiding from God this morning. And hide in God. Hide in Jesus. And trust him for life and eternity. Let us pray. Father, help us not to hide from you. How can we hide from you, Lord? Help us rather in the gospel to hide in you, to hide in Jesus as we repent and believe the good news. And we ask our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.